हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओके महाभारत चैप्टर 34 द लेक ऑफ डेथ एज़ द पांडवस पास्ड द 12th ईयर इन द कामिका इंद्र थॉट ऑफ हाउ ही माइट डू देम गुड. The king of the gods knew that Yudhishthira was afraid of Karna, whose divine armor and earrings afforded him supernatural protection from weapons. Indra decided to disguise himself as a Brahmin and beg the armor from Karna. Okay, because Karna was the only one that had that same kind of ability as Arjuna in the bow and arrow, you know, on the fighting on the battlefield. Though we have seen as he doesn't have the same ability, but he's the closest. But at the same time, as in war, you can't just say, okay, he's better and he's less, so it's automatically going to be like that. As it points out in Niti Shastra, sometimes the better opponent loses and the weaker opponent wins. And he, on top of this, he has this impenetrable armor, the supernatural armor. He was born with it. So then that aspect then, you know, becomes an anxiety for Yudhishthira. So then Indra wanted to do something good for him because his son, you know, Arjuna, then is always working for Yudhishthira's benefit. And so in this way, then he's also thinking that it'll please his son, so then he's trying. Divining Indra's intentions, the sun god appeared before Karna in a dream in the form of an effulgent brahmana. He spoke to Karna in grave tones, "Mighty hero, my son, I have come to advise you for your everlasting good. Listen carefully. Indra will come before you disguised as a brahmana in order to beg for you your armor. He is aware that you have vowed never to refuse charity. You must somehow resist this request. Offer him anything else in its place. If you part with your armor and earrings, which are made of the essence of celestial nectar, you will die in battle. Possessed of your armor and earrings, however, not even the gods can slay you." In his dream, Karna asked, "Who are you who cares so much for my welfare?" "I am the god of limitless rays. I advise you out of affection, you should heed my words." Karna did not know that the sun god was his father, right? Because he doesn't know that sun god was his father and that Kunti was his mother. I mean, no one knew. He replied, "I am fortunate that the Lord God of all splendor, who I worship daily, desires my welfare. Out of my love for you, I say this. Please do not prevent me from observing my vow. Such dishonor would be worse for me than death," right? Because he says if you give the honor, you'll die in battle. But he says that worse than that dying there, because at least then he dies in battle, is glorious. Here is that, you know, keeping his vow is the more important. "O Surya, the entire world knows I will part with my life if a Brahmin begs for it. Should Indra come to me as a Brahmin, I shall not be able to refuse him whatever he may ask." Fame was everything to Karna. He would never do anything that would lead to infamy of any kind. Right, so you have the element, so you see Yudhishthira, it's not fame that's the important thing. It's the upholding of Dharma. And so therefore, he's performing Dharma. And then on the side, fame comes because of that. But for Karna, fame is more important. So he ups up the whole Dharma, so he gets that. So we see is that's where the mixed element is. Because generally it's for Brahmins, it will be knowledge. Kshatriyas, it will be that power and control. Vaishyas, it will be profit. Shudras, it will be fame. Like that. So you see is there is some kind of impurity that's there. Though, of course, you see it may be there, like Duryodhana, you know, worries about fame, but not as much. He doesn't mind that all the people in the kingdom hate him as long as he's in control. And it's not even so much that he's in control, it's more that the Pandavas aren't in control. You know, which whatever is there is that you can gain, he wants it. So if only this much is available and this much he has, then he has that and he's happy. But if he finds out someone else has this much, he's got to have that much just because it's available. So we see is that all these various impurities are there in Duryodhana's party. So him, for him, fame is the thing. He added, if I give my armor to Indra, I shall win great fame in this world. Well, Indra will become infamous, right? Because then Indra will have been making a kind of like a deceitful arrangement. So he'll be infamous for that. But Karna, because he was so charitable that he gave, even though he knew, he'll be famous for that. As it is, how many stories of Karna do we know? But this is one of them. Fame prolongs life and leads to heaven. Fame prolongs life and leads to heaven. Why would you be famous unless you have good karma? So therefore, if you do good karma, you get fame. It's the good karma that takes you to heaven, not the fame. You know, fame is just a byproduct. But, you know, as I said, fame is important. A famous man lives even after his death, while those who are infamous are as good as dead, even though they still breathe. O Surya, I will preserve my fame even at the cost of my life. Surya replied, dear child, a wise man does not do anything that will injure himself or his dependents. There is no doubt that the everlasting fame you desire will cost you your life. Therefore, what profit is there in sacrificing your body for fame? Because Sun God's pointing out is, yes, but the wise person won't do that. He'll do what's going to be good for himself and his dependents and that going on, because you have your duties. Because you may be famous after you die as Karna, but Karna doesn't exist. There is no karma, and he goes off and he's something else. You know, next life, that famous person now is another person who has nothing to do with any of that. So then Surya is pointing out this fame is not as important. That's why you see it's more Shudras are more worried about it. But we see that the Brahmin Kshatriyas Vaishyas, then their performance of their duties is more important, like you see with Yudhishthira. Only while you are alive can you use the fame you accrue. Fame is useless to a dead man, right? Because fame doesn't go with you. The piety you did, that will go with you, but the fame doesn't. That's the thing, you know. Fame is useless to a dead man. It is a garland around a corpse. Because you worship me, I speak for you good. If you use reason, you will be able to distract Indra from his purpose. If you wish to face Arjuna in battle, you must not give up your earrings and armor. You will not be able to stand against Arjuna without them, right? Because if he was actually equal to Arjuna, he would be able to stand without the armor. But Surya is pointing out, without your armor, you can't actually stand against it. You're not as good as Arjuna, like that. But it's a subtle point, and he never catches it, and neither does Duryodhana because of their pride. But, you know, he's giving that point because Arjuna doesn't have that kind of armor, you know, and still. Karna was still not convinced. O God of brilliant rays, you are dearer to me than my wife, sons, friends, and even my own self. Please cherish me as a devoted worshiper and allow me to do as I please, right? You please cherish me as a worshiper, you know, because you're so important, but I won't follow your instruction. You know, so there's, in other words, you're dear because I get something from that. So it's not a selfless aspect. So his worship of the sun god is then in the mode of passion. It's not in goodness that, you know, it's his, you know, as a kshatriya, he gives in charity or he worships his deity and all that. I cannot embrace falsehood. Death would be preferable. With bowed head and repeated prayers, I implore you to forgive me. For I cannot do as you say. I do not fear Arjuna, though the sun god is saying he should. But he doesn't. That's his foolishness. Parasuram has given me powerful weapons. I will defeat Arjuna in the battle when the time comes. Please permit me to observe my vow when Indra approaches me. So Parasuram's given him powerful weapons, but he hasn't given him all the weapons that Arjuna has. You know, because they don't, I guess, at this point fully understand how he went, you know, they kind of know he went to heaven and he came back. But they may not, it may not fully have dawned on them what that means. So that's always going to be, is that due to material desire, one gets blinded, one doesn't see things as they are. So then we have that the Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, Karna, and that, even though they may hear the facts and all that, it doesn't register as it should, like that, because of their material desire. So you can see that Karna would not change his mind. It was as the god had expected. And he had already considered an alternative. He continued to address his son in gentle tones. Right, so he knew he's fixed like this, and his mentality and all that, and he's very strong. And so then he's going to see, okay, he has an alternative. Because he's coming, this would be the best thing. But if not, okay, there's an alternative. If you must give your armor and earrings to Indra, then you should ask him something in return. Worshipping him with pleasing words, you should offer him your armor only in exchange for the infallible dart he possesses, the Shakti weapon. That weapon can destroy any enemy. If you possess that weapon, you will remain invincible. Ask him for it. It is called the Shakti. So then, with that, then, okay. Then, at least if you can't, then you have that weapon. And then with that, you can destroy anyone. Suddenly, Surya vanished and Karna awoke. Thinking about his dream, after bathing, he went before the rising sun with folded palms. He told the sun everything that occurred in his dream. From the heavens, a voice echoed, "This is all true." Amazed, Karna returned to his palace, expecting Indra's arrival at any time. A few days later, Karna entered the Ganges at noon to perform his daily worship of the sun god. Each day at the end of his worship, the Brahmins would come to beg charity. He never refused anyone anything. Now Indra came to him dressed as a Brahmin. Seeing the effulgent ascetic standing before him, Karna said, "You are most welcome. What can I offer you? If you like, I can bestow upon you villages, cows, and beautiful damsels adorned with gold." "I do not desire any of these things," the Brahmin inquired. "You may give these to others who beg for them. O sinless one, if you are true to your vow, then cut from your body your armor and earrings and give them to me. This is all I desire." Realizing that this was Indra, Karna replied, "I will gladly give you whatever you wish, but why ask only for my armor? Take from me instead enough wealth to maintain you and all your dependents for as long as you live." Karna tried in various ways to distract Indra from his goal, you know, as the sun god had said. But the god made it clear that he wanted only the armor. Finally, Karna said, "Divested of my natural armor and earrings, which are created from celestial nectar, I shall die in battle. That is why I am reluctant to part with them. I know you are Indra and that you are here to help the Pandavas. As the lord of the god, it is you who should be bestowing boons upon me. Therefore, O Deva, please consider offering me a boon in exchange for my armor." Indra replied, "Before I came here, Surya divined my intentions. No doubt he has told you all. Let it be as you desire. With the exception of my thunderbolt weapon, ask for me what you wish." Right? Because the thunderbolt is exclusively for Indra. And so, therefore, then that wouldn't be something that would necessarily be given to anyone else. Karna asked for the Shakti dart Surya had mentioned. Indra reflected for a moment and replied, "I have invoked the weapon and will give it to you as soon as you give me your armor. But I do so under one condition. When I release this dart, it kills hundreds of my enemies and returns to my hand. However, you will be able to release it but once to kill one powerful enemy. When your enemy has been slain, it will return to my hand, not yours." In other words, he can't use it again and again. So he'll have to be very, very careful about that. So then you see here is that Surya is coming and trying to make him careful about it. Then Karna is being careful. Then now we see is Indra is being careful about it. You know, they're putting conditions. And so, because otherwise he hasn't, he can just keep using it and using it, you know, on the battlefield and like this. Basically, his point is he can use it once. It means he can kill, you know, as it mentions, you know, hundreds of his enemies. But at the same time is that, why would he use it just like that if it can only be used once? So he usually says you can use it against one powerful enemy. And then it will return back to Indra, not to him. Because otherwise, these weapons you throw it, then it comes back to you. So he hasn't done, you know, that particular austerity for that, to gain that weapon. And so then here, no, the boat, but he is giving his armor, which is a very special thing. So in that way, then, he's giving it for him once. Karna was grave. I desire to kill only one mighty foe. I know your desire, but a high-souled being protects the one you wish to kill. The great Lord Krishna, who is the inconceivable Narayana, protects him. So his point is Indra is interested because he's his son and he wants to do benefit for Yudhishthira. But he knows this, that Narayana is protecting Arjuna. And so you'll never be, because they're Narayana Rishi, and they don't die. They're an incarnation of the Lord. Be that as it may, give me your weapon, for it will surely be capable of slaying many human enemies. I shall cut my armor from my body, but I ask you to prevent my body from being disfigured. Right? Because if the armor is connected to his body, then if he cuts it off, then it will make scars and everything like that, and that doesn't look so good. So then he's asking, okay, as a devata, you want this, then make it so that I won't be disfigured. He'll just look like anybody else that never had armor in the first place. So be it. Because you desire to adhere to truth, you will not be scarred. You will be restored to your present handsome and shining complexion. With a sharp sword, Karna immediately began to cut away his armor. Seeing Karna smiling through the pain, the gods and demons roared like lions and beat celestial drums. So he's famous for this. A shower of heavenly flowers fell upon Karna as he took off the armor and earrings and handed them, wet with blood, to Indra. Then Indra gave Karna his weapon, saying, "Do not use this unless you face the gravest danger. Otherwise, it will fall upon you." Right? So if you use it just in an ordinary kind of thing, lightly, then the dart will become angry with him and it'll react on him. Like we saw with he was the king of Kashi. Then he sent the Sudarshan. He sent this big demon. Conjure up this big demon to go to Dwarka and destroy Dwarka. But when the demon got to Dwarka and saw who he was dealing with and the power that's there, and also that it wasn't appropriate, the demon went, because he couldn't do anything there because he's been invoked. The demon went back and then attacked the king. So that's the point of these things. It's not that, you just have them, you use them however you like. No, you have to use them what is the proper etiquette for that particular weapon. And so here in this, so it's not the gravest danger, you can't use it. It has to be, because in other words, before that, you use your bow and arrow, that's what you're good at. Only when it's varied, then you can use it. Otherwise, it'll fall upon you. The god then soared into the sky, feeling he had accomplished the pandava's purpose. Right? Because now, without his armor, he can't be killed. And, and as we see in the battle, things will unfold and how this will be true. The Pandavas stayed at the Dvaitavan for the final part of their exile in the forest. Only a short while remained before they had to disguise themselves and hide for the 13th year. They wondered where they should go. One day, as they sat discussing in the company of rishis, a brahmana in obvious distress came before Yudhishthira. He explained that a deer had caught hold of the sticks he used to light his sacrificial fire and had taken them into the forest. Because you have the aratni, so it's a single stick with the thing that you push on the top. They're separate, the three pieces, and then one on the bottom. And so they may have all been tied together. The deer comes through, they have horns, they catch it, and then they keep running like this. The sticks, along with my ladle and other paraphernalia, were tied in a bundle. Oh, even more. So they're all in a bundle. And so when you do the bundle, you put the things in because they're long. Then you'll put the cloth over like this, and then the ends you'll tie a knot and put that together. So that means this portion here could be caught, and you can hold it by that. Somehow the deer caught them on his horns. Oh, hero, I must have them back so my sacrifice may not be stopped. Yudhishthira reassured the Brahmin and stood up at once with his brothers. Taking up their bows, they went in pursuit of the deer. Although they shot many arrows at it, they could not catch the animal. It bounded swiftly away and vanished into the woods. The brothers became tired and disappointed. Coming to a large banyan tree, they sat down in its shade. With a heavy heart, Nakula said to Yudhishthira, "In our race, virtue has never been sacrificed, and we have never been idle, nor have we ever refused anything to any creature. How then has this calamity befallen us?" Right? So then, here it is, the five of them going out with their bows, and they can't catch the deer, they can't shoot the deer. So they're just thinking, what's going on? And not only that, they become tired and all that. So they're sitting down there thinking, no, but we've been pious, we've done everything. Why would this, Why would we be unable to accomplish such a simple task? Okay, so then we'll hear in the next discussion about what unfolded. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.